This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The coronavirus pandemic may be easing in America, but it's not going to help millions of Americans who have lost their jobs because of it. Today's ADP monthly private payrolls jobs report for May shows 2.76 million more workers lost their jobs last month. Large businesses cut more than 1.6 million jobs, and 719,000 construction workers were let go. Many U.S. cities again saw protests in their streets last night following the death of George Floyd over a week ago at the hands of police in Minneapolis, but for the most part, it was a calmer night than previous nights, including in New York City. Though, Chief Terry Monahan says, many of those who do make trouble during these protests are there not because of Floyd's death.
There are groups within these live protests that are looking for nothing but trouble.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
President Trump says he is following through on a threat he made last week to move this year's GOP convention from Charlotte, North Carolina, to another venue where a normal full-capacity convention is guaranteed to be held. The president announcing it in a tweet last night, not long after North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper said again that because of the coronavirus, he could not guarantee that the event scheduled for August could be held at full capacity. Primary election day in seven states. Very good to Joe Biden, the former VP winning Democratic primaries in Indiana, Maryland, Montana, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and South Dakota. Biden now only about 100 delegates short of locking up the nomination. Meanwhile, Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa was defeated in a Republican primary race. Wall Street up again today so far. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at last check up over 300. And this is USA Radio News.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
Reports are Attorney General William Barr was the one who ordered that peaceful protesters in a park across the street from the White House be pushed back on Monday evening so that President Trump could have a photo opportunity at a church there. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continuing to blast the administration for it.
My daughter was there that night, and she called me. She said, Mom, you wouldn't even believe it. These people were demonstrating peacefully, and all of a sudden, this barrage of security came through using clubs to beat people up.
Initial witness reports that police were using tear gas to disperse the crowd have been disproven. It turns out police were using pepper balls and flashbangs. There's a growing call for Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti to fire the city's police chief. Chance heard while Garcetti was addressing a crowd of protesters in downtown L.A. yesterday. LAPD Chief Michael Moore says the people causing violence in the streets have the blood of George Floyd on their hands. He later tweeted an apology. immunity. The warmer weather is not likely to slow the spread of coronavirus, according to Dr. Francis Collins of the National Institutes of Health. Writing in a blog post yesterday, the climate will only matter if a large portion of the population has already built up immunity or resistance to the infection. And tropical storm Cristobal in the Atlantic could gain strength as it approaches the northern Gulf Coast this weekend. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Neil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Hey, for more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. A little program note coming soon. We're going to have a special 800 number for you to dial in because I know many of you have opinions and you need to be heard, and we're going to give you that venue, 800 number where you can record your rant, get it off your chest. There's no need to let it, build up and cause your head to explode. We're going to give you that opportunity to let off some steam. And that phone number that is going to open up pretty soon is 833-BML-RANT. Okay, and we'll be telling you more about that and let you know exactly when that official line is wide open and ready for you. We're going to be talking about this new book from Sean DeGrillo, who, and Sean has an incredible background. I mean, a 17-year veteran of law enforcement, a Medal of Valor recipient, provided material support to the FBI, MBI, gang unit, and various local, state, and federal agencies. Sean relied on his extensive law enforcement training and experience to delve into the guilt or innocence of Lee Harvey Oswald, commissioning the first ever 21st century computer voice stress analysis of Oswald. A little bit more of the background of his book, Malcontent. To understand the assassination, it is imperative to first understand Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who brought a nation to its knees on November the 22nd, 1963. In this book, the investigation of Lee Harvey Oswald's actions and words about the murders of a president and a police officer takes a radically new direction. A law enforcement analysis is seen through the spectrum of conscious of guilt, is coupled with the first ever computer voice stress analysis of Lee Harvey Oswald, the personal assassination notes of the Dallas homicide detective at the heart of the investigation and handcuffed Lee Harvey Oswald during that fateful shooting are published in this book for the first time. Published for the first time are the writings of Michael Payne also, who explores his unique knowledge and political conversations with Lee Harvey Oswald. This book sheds new light on a controversy that has raged for over 50 years. The question remains, was Lee Harvey Oswald guilty or a self-proclaimed patsy? Sean, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, here's, and you pose this question right off in the book. Oh, my goodness, another book on the assassination of JFK. Have we not heard enough? And I say the reason that the questions remain is, I always maintained, something my father taught me long ago, is that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. We've got a lot of opinion flying around. We had an initial release of documents from the JFK assassination that were supposed to have been released several years ago. Donald Trump promised that he would release. He only released about 25%, but even by law, he is commanded to release all the information. Well, something happened to stop him. And just as you looked and analyzed in the book Malcontent, you start looking at the fruit and the evidence of someone's behavior, and you realize there has to be something nefarious behind the stoppage of the release of the documents. So you use that same type of reasoning along with your skill as a law enforcement officer, a very experienced law enforcement officer, to come to some conclusions about Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's correct. That's right. The first thing is, you know, if there was a conspiracy, I'm not saying there wasn't. I mean, I don't want to ever want to close that door. Mm-hmm. But if there was a conspiracy, it's not going to be in some sort of document, you know, in the government. Certainly not going to keep any evidence of that. But the reason why I believe there was no conspiracy, that Oswald himself told us there wasn't. So the computer voice stress analysis, I'm not an expert in it. That's why I hired a fellow colleague and the number two man in the world for the computer voice stress analysis. So, for example, when in the Dallas midnight press conference, did you kill the president? And he goes, no, I've not been charged with that. So no was hard block stress. Mm-hmm. And then I have not was no stress, because it's true. He had not been charged with killing Kennedy until after that press conference. So the CVSA is very sensitive, and it can pick up someone telling the truth and lying in the mm-hmm. same breath.
We're saying CVSA, which is short for Computer Voice Stress Analysis, the first time in this century that this has been utilized, right?
It's never correct. Never been done. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for in layman's terms, it's like this. The human voice is like a radio. It has an AM frequency and an FM frequency. So the AM frequency is the audible. It's the voice we hear. Mm-hmm. The FM frequency is inaudible. And essentially what happens is, if we're being deceitful, if we're being dishonest, that FM frequency dissipates. And the disappearance or the dissipation of that FM frequency is what the CVSA registers.
Sean, could it have been possible that you had two plans here? You had a plan that involved Lee Harvey Oswald that only he knew about. And there was, and this is where the conspiratorial comes into play. Right. And I know you said that it's not that you have blocked it out altogether, but it just begs the question: is it possible that there were two plans in operation there, and that Lee Harvey Oswald, in a sense, was kind of the insurance for the other plan?
Well, I'd say anything is possible, mm-hmm. but I just don't see any credible evidence of that. We're almost 57 years into this. And I don't see any hardcore proof of that. I mean, you would think now, you know, a jilted lover, someone who got pinched for another crime would roll over and say something, or you know, or mark my book. I don't see any evidence of that.
We've had lots of people, though, Sean, that have investigated. Dorothy Kilgallen, right. Probably one of the most noted. I mean, hundreds of people that have investigated the killing of JFK, the assassination. And mysteriously, they die. So this leads you to believe there's something more nefarious than some single malcontent, possibly.
Well, you know, someone can certainly go down that route. But then, you know, that's a terrifying world we live in, that for some reason, some entity wanted Kennedy killed. And now nothing is real, that people are killing other witnesses, sometimes years or decades after the event. It just doesn't make any sense. And I don't think that's what happened. I think some things can be explained. Mm-hmm. But I don't get into that in my book.
Right.
What I do was how many times can you say, talk about the Kennedy assassination? I mean, it's been done mm-hmm. thousands of times. That's what recording from New Orleans with Bill Stuckey. And he said, are you a Marxist? And he goes, yes, I'm a Marxist. And that revealed no stress, because we know he studied Karl Marx,
right.
And he proclaimed himself as a Marxist.
Yes.
He also said he was discharged as a buck sergeant. We know that's a lie because he was discharged as a private first class, and this showed huge hard block stress on Buck Sargent. The midnight press conference, going back to that again, Mr. Oswald, how church I? Well, policeman hit me. No stress on that, because it's true. So there are things we can prove. We know for a fact what did and did not happen, and the computer voice stress analysis picked it up every time.
So you're saying that when he was asked about the black eye, because you dropped out there for just a second, I want to make sure our audience picked up on that. He did say that a police hit him, and that registered as a correct answer according to the CVSA, right?
Absolutely correct. Yes. A policeman hit me. No stress at all. So these things are verifiable.
Right. Well, Sean, we're going to talk more about it in this next segment. We've got more from Sean DeGrilla. This informative book, I mean, this is quite telling, entitled Malcontent. Stay with us. We've got more from Sean after this.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive. The list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
K
keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with Sean DeGrillo, 17-year veteran of law enforcement, Medal of Valor recipient, and his new book, Malcontent, Lee Harvey Oswald's Confession by Conduct. In the book, Sean first points out a very important question here, and that is that we need to understand in order to understand the assassination, it is imperative to first understand Lee Harvey Oswald. Sean, who was this guy?
Well, as my title proclaims, I think he was just a misanthropic person. He was never satisfied in life. He physically, emotionally, and sexually abused his wife, Marina. Mm-hmm. Could never hold a job much for very long. Probably had any friends. Was just very dissatisfied in life. My book is only one of the few that comes from perspective of a former police officer. We have Mark Furman wrote a book. Jesse Curry, the Dallas police chief, wrote a book. But I decided to use Oswald's actions and words to see exactly who he was that day. Mm-hmm. So, would you flee the scene of the crime? Well, yeah, you might if you're scared or something's going on, but would you flee the scene? Would you change your name? Would you change your appearance? Would you arm yourself? Would you kill a police officer? Would you have selective answering of questions? I'll tell you about, the automobiles and the appliances they had in Russia, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to really get to tell you where I was today. First, he said he was on the second floor, then the first floor. I found notes from Agent Hostie saying he was outside watching the parade. So, would you lie? If you have nothing to hide, would you lie?
Mm-hmm. And so these responses, you're taking the responses that he made auditorially, and you're putting him through this computer voice stress analysis to begin to understand, how much veracity is coming out of Oswald.
That's correct. And some listeners who are well-versed in the assassination know about a book called The Assassination Tapes by George O'Toole. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1975, George O'Toole took the PSE, which is the Psychological Stress Evaluator, and ran one statement of Oswald and several statements by witnesses and law enforcement. And he said that Oswald was telling the truth. The witnesses and the police essentially were lying. But he only took a 3-day orientation course. This PSE was brand new. It was in its infancy. There was no metric by which to compare it to. And Dr. Charles Humble, who created the CVSA in the 80s, worked with George O'Toole. So I showed Dr. Humble the chart, and he goes, George, what are you doing? Because he saw where he slowed down the PSE. Unlike the CVSA, the PSE, you can slow down the tape. So he skewed it. So he pointed out right after me in this chart in the book, The Assassination Tapes, he pointed out that chart and said, look, he slowed it right here. So when he's doing Oswald's response, he skewed the results. Whether that was on purpose, whether it was an accident because he didn't know what he was doing, is not for me to decide.
Right, exactly. Well, and this has been the problem with the, whether it's the Warren Commission report and others, and that's why so many more questions than answers remain, and why we find this topic to be so interesting that we still keep coming back to it. I said it's like dealing with your kids, Sean. When your kids lie to you, you don't feel good about it. They kind of like hope, okay, well, hopefully dad doesn't, that's a good enough answer. But it just sticks in your craw, so to speak. And this is what it's done. I mean, collectively, it is stuck in the craw of American citizens in, trying to get down to the truth. And so what you have done, you've done all the hard work to say, in the absence of Oswald, we do have voice recordings, and you say that he self-indicts.
He does, and I hate to use this term because it's inaccurate, but, Lee Harvey Oswald took a lie detector test and never even knew it. Every single chart that I generated is in my book. I didn't leave anything out. There's one that's very interesting that I still have a little bit of an issue with. And in New Orleans, he was taught, Bill Stuckey asked him about his membership and also goes, well, we've had members in this area for several months now. That showed no stress. And we know that Oswald was the only member. He's a one-man band. Mm-hmm. So Jerry Crotty told me, hey, if someone really believes it, if they lived this up and if they really, really believe it, they'll come back no stress. Mm-hmm. So that's the only one that was a little odd. Everything else was right on point.
Do you think that would point to other people that were assisting him in accomplishing this? Possibly?
I think it goes more towards a state of mind, and you can never really know someone's state of mind, of course, but I think he really believed he was living in a Spanish world and that there were others that were in this Fair Play for Cuba committee. I mean, there could have been more that had never been identified. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's entirely possible. But that's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Is that an associated character flaw of a malcontent as they become delusional?
I think absolutely. And I think that Oswald is absolutely delusional. In his writings, he talks about this utopia, and almost like Karl Marx with a withering away of the capitalist society, and that's not realistic, especially with this country. But the charts, in Dallas, he was asked, "Did you shoot the president?" Mm-hmm. In the hallway, he said, "Did you shoot the president?" And he goes, "No," and that showed hard block stress. They said, "Did you kill the president?" And he goes, "No," and that showed medium block stress. So what that tells me is there's a difference between shooting somebody and killing someone. Mm-hmm. Oswald definitely shot the president. I don't know at that time if he realized he had killed him. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference, and Lee Harvey Oswald knew that, and so did the CDSA.
Now, you point out in the book a difference between Oswald on the radio in New Orleans, and you kind of touched on that a moment ago, and then talking to the press in Dallas after the JFK and Officer Tippit murders.
So, 3 months before he killed Kennedy, he's arrested. He doesn't fight the police officers. He's not armed. He begs, essentially, to be arrested. He will not post his bond. And he wants to be fingerprinted. He wants to be photographed. He even requests the FBI to come interview him. And I think he did that to find out what the FBI knew about him. I think he's trying to play his little cat and mouse game. And then he had a complete opposite in Dallas. He armed himself. He's killing a police officer. He fights the police. He has ID with two different names on it. I think it goes to show you just how far gone he went that year. I think he was just living in a different world.
Mm-hmm. Well, this book particularly focuses in, as you say, the last 48 hours of Oswald's life. And before the trained eye of a cop who's dealt with criminals, right, besides the perspective of voice stress analysis experts studying Oswald's utterances, what's the complete picture that you were able to obtain by looking at Oswald's actions as a police officer?
Well, I've dealt with a lot of little mini Oswalds in my career at the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And, it's not uncommon. I've had guns pulled on me. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I was not shot. But, all these people ran away from me. All these people, pulled a gun on me or fought me or whatever because they were hiding something, because they were guilty of something. When Oswald was arrested at a theater and he's in the police car and he's being driven to the headquarters, he's like, "Oh, a police officer been killed?" He goes, I hear they burned for murder." Well, if you've just been arrested for killing a policeman, you or I, Bill, mm-hmm. we say, "Oh, well, I guess they burn for murder," which means they have the death penalty. Would you say that? Would you be like, "Are you crazy? I was watching a movie. I know I was with friends. I did this. Go find the real murderer."
Right.
No. He resigned. Like, "Well, I guess they burn for murder here."
Exactly.
That's not the response of somebody who's innocent. That's not the way it is.
Mm-hmm. What did Oswald do the week of the JFK assassination that makes him appear either innocent or guilty that you found, Sean?
Well, first off, in law enforcement, we look for the totality of the circumstances. So, like for a DUI, if your car is swerving, well, maybe, you're looking for your phone or a road obstruction or whatever. It's the totality of the circumstance, not just one thing, but everything put together. So, in law enforcement, we look for patterns. And usually, he deviated from his pattern the week of the assassination. He came home on Thursday with Buell Frazier, mm-hmm. instead of the typical Friday, and under the ruse of, "I need a curtain rod." Well, that's not true. I've been in his rooming house. I've interviewed people. There were curtain rods on his windows. He didn't need it. There were no curtain rods on the depository, but there was a rifle. His rifle. So he deviated from his pattern. He left his wedding ring. Never done it before, according to Marina. Mm-hmm. Although it was very stingy, very miserly. And he left almost all his money to Marina. Never did that before.
Exactly.
Basically,
wow.
He was done. Whether or not he killed, or arrested. He was done.
We got to leave it there. So much in this book, Malcontent, that you must read. Linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Sean DeGrella, thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The coronavirus pandemic may be easing in America, but it's not going to help millions of Americans who have lost their jobs because of it. Today's ADP monthly private payrolls jobs report for May shows 2.76 million more workers lost their jobs last month. Large businesses cut more than 1.6 million jobs, and 719,000 construction workers were let go. Many U.S. cities again saw protests in their streets last night following the death of George Floyd over a week ago at the hands of police in Minneapolis, but for the most part, it was a calmer night than previous nights, including in New York City. Though, Chief Terry Monahan says, many of those who do make trouble during these protests are there not because of Floyd's death.
There are groups within these live protests that are looking for nothing but trouble.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez, live.
Look at this. What we need, for all Americans, okay, this is win-win. This isn't a political thing. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. This is just about us. Human beings in this journey of life, all trying to do the best we can for ourselves and for our families, and yes, our country as well. But if we lose sight of that, and then we lose, we lose context and we lose understanding of what is going on, especially with the pending threats and these two pandemics that we're dealing with. One, an invisible virus that has attacked our country, and particularly the weakest in our country have been seemingly targeted by this coronavirus. The other is, a heart issue that we've been dealing with for a long time that has been festering, that somehow, by the grace of God only, I believe, that we can clean it up and get beyond this and be working toward each other's good. Our next guest, Herman Mendoza, has quite the story to tell. A former East Coast drug lord knows better than most about making choices out of desperation. He knows, too, about living for years in isolation, as his time in prison taught him all too well. Lastly, he understands the life-changing opportunities that are born of some of life's most painful circumstances. Herman Mendoza, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
this book, why did you have to write Shifting Shadows, How a Drug Lord Found Freedom in the Last Place He Expected?
I wanted to grab the attention of people that are just struggling with addiction, not necessarily with drugs, but all kinds of addictions. And I wanted to be open-minded and kind of be transparent in my experiences and also the lifestyle that I once lived, and really connect with the community out large, you know, to let them know that there's hope, that in the moment of despair or the moment of pain and suffering, that, you know, that they can get out of their circumstances or their situation by putting their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I truly believe that because I am a living, walking example of what God has done for me. Again, as you, in your introduction of me, I was, you know, involved with narcotics, spewing hundreds of kilos of cocaine across America, and living a lifestyle thinking that I had everything under my control, everything that I wanted was a snap, you know, of my fingers, and it was available to me. But, you know, my world came tumbling down when I got arrested, federal prison, and realized that all the things that I was chasing after, these idols, were just meaningless until I experienced Christ, until God met me there in that prison cell and really took a hold of me and transformed my life, and became the man that I am today because of the Lord.
You're the blind man that now sees, right?
Exactly. Walking dead, as I always say.
Right, exactly. Herman, how did you get involved with drugs and become a drug lord? I mean, take us through that transformation that led you to become a East Coast drug lord.
Sure. In the early 80s, cocaine was so prevalent in the culture. You know, people were experimenting with cocaine. And so a lot of the folks around my community, you know, that they were getting involved with small quantities of drugs and sales of drugs, I was sort of attracted to that kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at the time?
I was 14 years old.
14 years old. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I began to engage in some small sales and eventually became hooked to consuming the very drugs that I was selling. And that led me down a path of destruction and to juvenile detention center, and eventually was released. And my parents decided to send me to the Dominican Republic, where my parents are from, to sort of straighten my life out. And they had me in a private school, and there I rebelled against my grandparents, and then eventually was sent back to the United States. Was clean for a while, got married. And my brothers were involved in the sales of cocaine, two of my brothers, and with a particular cartel out of Colombia. And I lost my job at the time, and I just wanted to make, you know, quick money. And
yeah, because you've got a family to provide for at this point, right?
Exactly. I have a family to provide for at the time, you know. And I just thought that there was just no other recourse at the time. I felt that I knew that it was illegal. But I figured, you know what, I can make a quick buck, and I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not on the street corners selling drugs. It's just to, you know, count some money. And I got exposed to $1.2 million that day of counting, you know, drug sales. And then from there, I just started to distribute cocaine across the Eastern Seaboard. Eventually got arrested with 31 kilos of cocaine, got sentenced to 3 to 9 years of incarceration. And at the time, Mayor Giuliani was governing the city, and so I was confronting a lot of time. But, you know, thank God I got a 3 to 9 sentence at the time. And I was
only 3 to 9 years, but 3 to 9 years without your family, right? Not 39
exactly.
years. I want to make sure. Okay.
Not 39, exactly. Yeah. 3 to 9 years of incarceration without my family separated. And so I was, you know, distraught and trying to find answers, but still, you know, thinking that I can get away with what I was dealing with. Eventually got into a program called Shock, made a promise to God and said during that time in Shock, which basically it shaves off the remaining time of my sentence to 6 months of incarceration. And I made a vow or a promise and said to God, I will not drink alcohol for 6 months if I were to get released out of the shock program. What a stupidity on my part of a petition.
Right.
And I did accomplish that. It was released. After the 6 months, I went right back into the same behaviors. As Proverbs 26:11 says, a dog returns to its vomit,
right.
So a fool repeats their folly. I repeated the same behaviors and got involved now with, you know, a larger quantity of distribution of cocaine, hundreds and hundreds of kilos.
Now, you're still still married, right? You come back to your family, you're still married. And did you have one or two sons at this point?
At this point, I had three children.
Three children, okay, all right.
Yeah, two daughters and a son.
Okay.
And then was rearrested on a federal rap, sent to federal prison, got bailed out, $500,000. My brother remained incarcerated. And at that point, I wanted to sort of end my life. I was trying to find a way of escape, a way out of my current situation, because I was facing 25 years of incarceration. And I decided to jump bail. And when I jumped bail, I went to a property that I owned in the Poconos. It was in a gated community, and I went there to sort of visit my family after a night of partying. And the very next day, my house was surrounded by state police, marshals, and DEA agents. I was rearrested as they hauled me in the adjacent car waiting for me. I told the marshals, I want to end my life right here because I'm confronting life in prison, and my life is worth nothing. And so they sent me to jail, but at the time, one of my brothers that was incarcerated in the federal case, he gave his life to the Lord, and he was praying for me. And he said, Lord, send my brother to the same prison so that I can minister this great gospel to him and that you can save his life because it's a mess. They're going to kill him. Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord would have it no other way. He sent me to the same prison and the same facility where my brother was incarcerated, and there he greets me, and he says, praise the Lord. Wow. And he extends the salutation. I'm like, praise the Lord. I said, man, we're in prison. What do you mean, praise the Lord? I wasn't understanding this new version. His countenance was different. He was a new person in Christ. And so eventually, my wife left me, and I was distraught and looking for answers, and I gave my life to the Lord in that prison cell.
You know, it's amazing for your brother and for anybody that is at the, you know, at the receiving end of answered prayer. I mean, there is no better exclamation than to praise God. I mean, because it's like, that's what we want. We want that affirmation. Call it a sign. Call it whatever it is that you want to call it. Some endorsement that you are with God, that God is still your man, even though you may be in prison. So for your brother, I mean, what this had to do to strengthen his faith and, of course, be such a great example for you as well. We've got more from Herman Mendoza after the break. Stay with us.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, it's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603D77. Equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Herman Mendoza. Shifting Shadows is the name of his book. Well, I'll tell you, what an incredible story. And so much of what Herman has experienced, back we were talking off air about it, you know, when he was confined in the loss of liberty, and in the midst of that loss of liberty, you know, there's God. And Herman, this was a choice for you to make, you know, as we were talking about that, you know, at times in our lives, there are moments and choices that we make that are absolutely critical. In the Bible, you read at times when people missed their appointed times. In fact, one point significantly was Jesus's overlooking Jerusalem, and he realizes the children of Israel have, they've missed their date with God. Their appointed time, they missed it. And the response was, Jesus wept. That's how significant it was. And I believe that we come to those divine, I can say divine, and you understand what I'm talking about. Some people think, oh, you're just being preachy. But they are. They're God-anointed times. And we don't know when they come up, but they're significant. And when that happens, you've got to pause and really meditate on that moment in time that you make the God choice, because that is the difference between life and death. And for you, I mean, you're sitting there, even before you go to jail, you're telling the police, I mean, you might as well kill me here. I'm good as dead. There's no life for me. But you're in prison and you're at that crossroads of an appointed time and appointed choice to make, and you choose life. And in choosing life, you realize there is a God of eternity that still cares for you and says, Herman, you may have messed up, but I want you to know, before you were born, I had made a covenant with you. And the arrangement that I made with you, whether you realize it or not, that deal between me and you is still on. And that's exactly what God says to you, And what he is saying, even to these people out there rioting and protesting in the streets and doing damage, God doesn't want anyone to perish. But we need to choose rightly at this appointed time.
Exactly. You know, Ephesians 2 talks about that. It says from life, you know, I was a dead man walking, as I always say. And God took me out of that death and brought me into life. And I think that in order for us to drive this message of unity, which is scriptural, by the way, you know, where Christ wants us to be united, we have to have that love of God and for our fellow men. And, you know, and we can't, you know, expose or express hatred towards our fellow man. You know, the Bible says that love drives out fear and covers a multitude of sins. Right. And you know, that's what happened to me. I was living in darkness. And when I was in that cell and I came to Christ, you know, the Lord sort of revealed to me, sort of like an image saying, look at the stuff that you were doing before. You were spewing drugs out into society. You were hurting people. And I came to that crossroad. I came to that place where I realized that, hey, I was destroying people. Mm. Even though I wasn't at a street corner selling cocaine, I was in a different level within the cartel, but God was revealing to me that the people that I was hurting were the very same drugs that I was spewing out into society.
Right.
People selling their bodies to obtain, you know, some cocaine. Others killing other people to get that fix, you know? And I was so convicted, Bill, of my actions that my whole life was just transformed. It was just radically transformed. You know, I call myself, I was like the Apostle Paul, the worst of sinners.
Mm.
You know,
aren't we all?
But now, that's the message, you know?
Yeah,
I wanted
exactly.
to let people know that through Christ, we can have that freedom. And we can see things clearly and not, you know, bring about, you know, violence or, but peace.
Exactly.
And I was living that within the prison cells, you know, in the prison that I was incarcerated in. There were fights, there were stabbings, but we prayed and we had our church service there. My brother and I, we became sort of the pastors of this particular chapel.
How many prisoners made up the church there?
We had about 56 or 70, inmates that made
the church. Wow. Wow.
120 inmates within the dormitory.
Yes.
Within the cell block.
What does that tell you right there that you would have that many people looking to God? What does that tell you?
That's amazing. You know, what it tells me is that through the word of God, we can bring about peace. We can bring about unity. We can love one another. We can dialogue. We can understand each other. You know, and it takes prayer. It takes love and understanding. And that's what happened to me. You know, my wife at the time when I was incarcerated, she left me.
Yes.
And so I prayed. I prayed for her salvation. And eventually she came to tell me bad news. And she came to visit me and says, look, I have bad news to share with you. And she said, look, you've done this in the past. You've destroyed our family. You've made us, you know, to all of the things that you've done in the past. Because sin has a consequence. There's a consequence behind your sinful acts.
Right.
You know, people think that, oh, I'm committing an act of sin, but it's just I'm doing it.
Right.
No, there's a ripple effect.
Exactly.
The things that we do, the choices that we make affect not just our loved ones, but it also affects others around us. And that's what happened to me. And, you know, my wife was resentful. She didn't want anything to do with me. So she came to that visiting area to say she wanted a divorce. And I shared my heart with her. And I said, look, I am a Christian. I am born again. I am, you know, saved. And I just poured my heart out to her. And she said, look, I want what you have. You're more free in prison than myself, that I'm out in society.
Wow. Wow.
I said, I want that Jesus that you have.
Mm.
And she accepted Christ. Eventually, I did my time. I got sentenced. I was released. I started an organization to help young people. God sends me to a Korean-American church to work on behalf of children and youth. Who could ever imagine, Bill, that I was destroying young people and adults and children that God will use me now as his ambassador.
God turns you into a shepherd for these young people.
Into a shepherd to help others through the word of God and instruct them and teach them in the ways of the Lord.
So only God, Herman. Only God.
Yeah. Only God. I'm involved in a movement called 4 to 14 Window, which is basically reaching that age group from 4 to 14.
Mm.
And I've traveled to over 50 countries, training leaders, and who would, again, ever imagine? And now my friends are Supreme Court judges. I have friends of mine that I mentor, law enforcement officers. And so I want my book to reach everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sending books to the prisons across America.
What comes out here, Herman, is the giftings and talents that God had blessed you with initially that you used for evil. He's turned it around and now using your natural giftings to promote his kingdom and to bless people. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, and I do want to hear the story of your kids. Tell us about that, because I'm told that, you know, pro-life advocacy groups and individuals will find their story very inspiring.
Yes. And so my children, you know, again, when I was incarcerated, they were just separated from their dad. They didn't understand. And so it took a lot of counseling and mentoring. But today, they are adults. They serve the Lord. They love God. They're, you know, respected in their communities. They're teachers in our ministry called Powerhouse Kids. And they're doing very well. They love God. They're, you know, educators in the Word of God, and they're empowering our community. And so God turned them around as well. So, you know, I thank God for that.
Well, how did their story relate to a pro-life topic?
Yeah, so how it relates to a pro-life topic is that before they felt like, my youngest daughter felt like, I don't even want to live. I mean, why you brought me into this world? Because I had an affair when I was in the world, when I was in a Christian.
Right.
And so the mother of my third child wanted to abort the child. And at the time, I was like, I don't know what to do, but I didn't want to abort the child, but I didn't want my wife to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that we didn't make that decision to abort the child. And now she's with us today, and she's doing very well, and she loves God, and that's how it relates to a pro-life position.
Yeah, what a story of redemption. I mean, you're almost like King David, right? Has a child out of wedlock, you know, impregnates one of his friend's wives, and you know, tries to do everything. I guess at that point, if he understood abortion as possibly being an out, he probably would have done that as opposed to killing Uriah, right?
Exactly, and I thank God that he made that decision, because again, today she is a loving, you know, young lady, and now she's a pregnant. I'm going to have my third grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
So grateful. Thank you. We're about to abort the child. If I would have said, let's do it, you know, in the position I was in, and thank God, you know, that it didn't happen.
Well, and that's a whole other book in terms of, you know, how she's blessed the family, how she's blessing others, how she's grown into a woman of God, and now promoting life and being an extension of your life now as a result. The title of the book, Shifting Shadows, what's the significance of that title?
Shifting Shadows. I was always shifting, making the wrong choices and wrong decisions. And in the book of James, God talks about that he does not shift like shifting shadows.
Right.
And so there are people out there that are shifting and trying drugs, shifting and you know, unfaithful to their spouse. God is saying, don't shift. You know, God is saying, stay the course. I am with you. Just call on my name and I will restore you.
That's the title of his book, Shifting Shadows, How a New York Drug Lord Found Freedom in the Last Place He Expected. In prison with his brother. Can you imagine that? What a great story from Herman Mendoza. And we've been blessed, Herman, to have you on the show to tell your story. We wish you Godspeed in all your ministries with you and your family, and the new grandchild coming into the Mendoza household and legacy.
Yeah.
Thank you again, brother, for coming on the show. You take care. God bless.
Thank you.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as $1 a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about $1 a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796. This is how we do.